This is an encore presentation of Unreserved. Enjoy.
The coolest music and the message is coming from our communities because we actually have something to say. And essentially, the colonizer couldn't kill us off. And because of that, there's this beautiful resistance. And it's not just resistance like I want to fight. It's resistance that I want to make love.
Danse, Anin, Bouju, hello and welcome. This is Unreserved on CBC Radio 1. I'm Rosanna Deerchild. Today, the beautiful resistance of Indigenous music makers who carry powerful messages.
I didn't want to. I felt it was too personal and vulnerable. I felt I would be attacked. And like, you know, my bass player was like, well, how many people have been hurt while we've been in the studio this week? And how many of them have a voice? You have a voice. So kind of just essentially put your big girl panties on. I'm like, okay, yeah.
Rage and Recovery with Christy Lane Sinclair's Super Blood Wolf Moon. And the spiritual awakening of Jaylee Wolf on God is an Endless Mirror.
It was like I left my body and I saw everyone as me. I saw oneness. I experienced that purpose that I'm here to love and to put more love into this world.
Also, Zune represents young two-spirit identity in their latest record, Beka Moengen.
You know, I don't really dream to be rich or famous or anything. I more just want a better future for people that look like me.
Plus, we catch up with Ace Inabi to find out where his album, Watton, has taken him since bursting on the music scene.
I remember being so nervous for that Juno's performance. Joel Wood from Northern Cree found me, and he just kind of put his hand on my shoulder, and he just looked at me in the eyes and was just like, you know, we're with you. And like, that was just such a powerful moment for me.
Today, five rising stars in the Indigenous music scene with five stories of love, loss, and reclamation. It's an album of skylines and mountain ranges, songlines that follow the contours of the land. That's Jawanim, the newest album from Digging Roots. And husband and wife duo Raven Kananatka and Shoshona Kish won a Juno for that album in March. Raven, welcome to Unreserved.
I'm really happy to chat with you. This is going to be awesome.
Yes. Well, we won't take too much of your time because I know you got the world to conquer. But let's talk a little bit about your album. You drew on the tradition of Anishinaabeg songlines for this album. What does that mean? What are Anishinaabeg songlines?
So Anishinaabeg songlines, it's a traditional way of composition where you are inspired by the land. So back in the day, you know, we'd be nomadic and mostly traveling by canoe along the waterways and stuff like that. So, you know, you'd get up to a place and you'd set up camp and then maybe pull out your hand drum, you know, and then, you know, you'd start looking at how the mountain range went up and then went down into a valley. So you might, you know, sing the line that goes, yo way, yo way, yo way, yo way, yo way. And then maybe repeat it. And, you know, you just pay attention to being on the territory and be inspired by it. For years and years, Shoshona and I have kind of taken pictures where wherever we've gone, done panoramic pictures. And in doing that, sort of have a catalog of beautiful places from the earth. And, you know, whenever we get stuck with something musically, you know, we'll kind of pull one of those pictures up and be inspired by what we're seeing and hearing. And then it brings back a flood of memories. You know, we're writing sort of from like, an inspired place of identity and cultural awareness and just drawing from those places. But the songline sort of brought another element, especially when I think you're an artist and you start to feel a little stale with something. One of the best ways to do that is to collaborate with other people. And I think that's why Shoshona and I collaborate. But also when you're collaborating with the land, it brings this whole other element. Because I grew up in a bush. I grew up in a small res called Winnoe, Long Point First Nation. And I used to like snare rabbits when I was a kid and, you know, go and hunt with my dad and trap with my grandpa. And we used to fish all the time. But I remember being a young person and checking my snares with my skidoo. I would go across the lake and going through this grove of pine trees. And I just sat in the middle, and these pine trees were kind of just blowing in the wind, like in the middle of winter. But it was sunny out and a really gorgeous day, and I just could smell everything, and I was like, whoa. And it just ignited this fire in me that was so creative. And I think about that when I'm making music, because making music still makes me excited, stokes that same fire. And I think that's that connection of being with the land, is when you're in that place and you feel connected to it. And then it also inspires you to do things.
And in terms of messages and how you communicate in the world, why did you decide music was the best way to send those messages out compared to other forms of art?
Growing up on my res, it was survival. Like, every single person around me was sniffing gas. There was a lot of death in my community. Everybody was feeling the effects of oppression and genocide, the effects of residential schools, the effects of dispossession. I think that I had a lot of energy in me as a kid that wanted to do things. When my grandfather flipped the switch on for me with music, then everything became more focused. All of a sudden, like, playing baseball or whatever didn't matter as much, and I just wanted to like pick up a guitar and learn this music. And I was so excited about it, because that same connection to the land that I was speaking with you earlier was a connection with music. And then I got older, I started to realize that there's a lot of medicine attached to music, especially in songwriting and in performing too. So, you know, like a song like Cut My Hair, that's on Joannum, it allows me to filter all of these feelings that I have, and allows me to be more grounded as a human being. When they trying to cut down my roots. Oh, when they cut my hair, I said they tried to cut down my roots. Won't even let me speak my words. They're trying to take their hand to. Can you dive a little deeper into that for me in terms of, you know, songs like Cut My Hair about residential school? How would you describe the power of your music in telling these kinds of stories? I think like a song like Cut My Hair, it emanated from great Auntie Mary coming to visit us from the Sioux. And she came in and was like, I'm just going to tell you, Raven and Shoshana, my residential school stories of me and my entire family. And we were like, okay, Auntie.
Okay. Wow, what a responsibility.
And then she began to tell her story over the course of 2 or 3 days. I wrote that song with Shoshana maybe about a year later. The magic of that song is that, you know, Shoshona and I are the first generations to not attend residential schools on either sides of our families. And, you know, we got to raise our children. We got to decide what schools we wanted to send them to, how we wanted to homeschool them. And we fought for that. We fought for the love that we had in our family instead of fighting with oppression. and letting that come out in the wrong ways. Like, it, you know, like we are the cycle breakers in that generation, and they're going to be cycle breakers in the next generation. And this song, you know, is for those children that didn't get to have that life. You know, their lives were cut short. And, you know, we're over 10,000 Indigenous babies that were raped, murdered, killed, starved, cattle prodded, electrocuted in little chairs. It's just a history that you can't even think about or make work in our heads, because that history is too great.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel that with music, when we're playing that, that energy gets to flow through. It's like a dam gets to open. When I'm playing that music and singing that, you know, like we're also calling for those little ancestors to come and celebrate with us and come and dance with us. When that music is happening, I can feel that. I can, like, sometimes, you know, like, it's like I'm singing or playing my guitar and my guitar just goes, growl. It's like a crazy feedback or something. It's like those spirits come and dance with us and change the electronics somehow. They're letting their voice out there, and we're doing this to honor them. And the song, like Cut My Hair, is exactly that. It's to let them know that we haven't forgotten about them, that we're feasting for them musically.
What an incredible gift. Thank you so much for that, Raven. I just think that's a wonderful story. Earlier this year, your duo, you and your beautiful wife won the Juno for Contemporary Indigenous Artist of the Year. When you accepted that award, you thanked the Indigenous community, who you say is making the most inspired, cutting edge music right now. What did you mean by that?
Like, there's a lot of cool music and there's a lot of cool things out there in the world. But I do have to say that the coolest music and the music with the best lyrics and the message is coming from our communities, because we actually have something to say. You know, when our drumming and our languages were banned and, you know, we couldn't even eat our own traditional foods, and, you know, we started making new traditions like bannock. You know, like, we're making new traditions now where we're blending like reggae, blues, and our traditional musics together. And essentially the colonizer couldn't kill us off. And because of that, there's this beautiful resistance. And it's not just resistance like I want to fight. It's resistance that I want to make love. There's a lot of lyrics about unity. There's a lot of lyrics about that eight fire. There's a lot of lyrics about the future. And there's a lot of lyrics about the shit that we also went through as well. But when you combine all of that, it just makes for music that is alive, and it just makes me excited.
Well, thank you very much for your time today. So appreciate it.
Hey, miigwech, nyawa, Rosanna. Appreciate that.
Digging Roots is Raven Gananatka and Shoshona Kish. Their Juno Award-winning album, Jawanam, is a must for your summer playlist. This is Unreserved on CBC Radio 1, Sirius XM, and Native Voice 1. I'm Rosanna Deerchild. Rising star Ace Inambi also got to shine on Canada's Music Awards stage this year. The singer-songwriter from Sandy Lake First Nation gave an emotional performance of his song We Were Here, featuring Northern Cree. We last spoke to him as he was launching his debut album, Watton, into the world. The record was inspired and based on conversations with his grandfather. He is booked at shows across Canada, including the Winnipeg Folk Festival, and we can't wait to hear more about how it was received. Ace Inambi, welcome back to Unreserved.
Hey, thank you for having me again.
So how has the response been to Watton?
Yeah, you know, the response has been incredible. We had the Juno nomination, which was which is great. But I think some of the best feedback I had was from residential school survivors.
Oh.
You know, I may have mentioned that like a huge worry on my mind when putting the album out was whether or not the album would re-trigger residential school survivors when they've heard these stories. But then there's people who reached out and said it was really, really nice. Really nice to hear our stories told by our people. And so that was probably one of the greatest feedback I've received.
Yeah, that's always really beautiful to hear from our survivors and our elders. Is there one message or moment that stands out where you realize just how much of a big impact this story that you shared was having?
Well, I think it came from my grandfather himself when the album came out, and he would get updates from the people around him, and he had kind of decided he was ready to forgive and kind of move on with his life. And I know it's different for everybody else, but this was just something that helped him move forward. That's the biggest thing for me.
That's really beautiful. How did that feel when he first told you that he was ready to let go of that part of his life and move on?
It felt incredible. You know, like this record, I didn't expect it to explode the way it did, to be sharing this story and sharing this music in so many different places. For my grandfather to take something as profound out of the project and the process of it as well, I was really happy that this album was also having like a big impact on his life.
Yeah. Now, when we last spoke, you told me the story about how you used to perform your music, you know, in the woods, in a van with a cat listening. And, you know, I've just been seeing you all over the place performing on the Junos, as you mentioned, in front of big audiences, more than just a cat. How has that been for you? Do you have highlights that you'd like to share with us?
Yeah, you know what? It's wild. Like, there's still ebbs and flows, right? Like, I remember being so nervous for that Junos performance. And you know what? It was interesting too, because I remember being backstage and like Joel Wood from Northern Cree found me, and he just kind of put his hand on my shoulder and he was just looked at me in the eyes and was just like, you know, we're with you. That was just such a powerful moment for me. And I remember so many people being like, savor the moment, man, savor the moment. And then like get up there and it was just gone in a blink of an eye, because, you know, the adrenaline's going and you're also kind of in your mind just being like, Don't mess any of this up.
So, don't forget the words.
Yeah, and you know what? And I think that was a massive place too. Like, I'm not sure what the capacity of that auditorium was, but I think it was like 15,000 or something like that, wasn't it? And
oh yeah, it's pretty big, pretty big audience.
And yeah, you know, we played, and then like we did the media circuit, so I like missed the whole rest of the show, so I didn't get to see anything else, but I didn't feel the impact of it until like the next day. I was on my way to South by Southwest. You know, I was watching these videos that everyone had kind of tagged me in their social media stories. And there's this one moment in particular where this guy, Guillaume Moffat, was in the stands there, and we finished the last chorus, and he panned the camera across the auditorium. You hear a pin drop, and then you just heard like, definitely was an Indigenous woman, just do like a lay, lay, lay call.
Ooh.
And then you kind of, this is happening, and then Steve Wood just says some words in Cree, some powerful words, and then, you know, the crowd erupt. Man, it just hit me all at once. You know, I was in the Denver airport, and you know, I couldn't even remember the last time I cried. Like, it may have been like 5 years or something like that, and I was like so happy I had my sunglasses. I put my sunglasses on, like, that just, it hit me so hard, you know, like, because we worked so hard for so long. And there was just so much pride in that moment, you know, and I just like, there was just like nothing to compare it to. Like, it just felt like we had like our Wakanda moment, you know,
like, as a nerd, I exactly know what you're talking about.
And so like, I just like, I'm in the airport by myself trying to hold it together. And I'm just like quiet weeping as I'm like, have all my gear, like, trying to like go through this busy airport, like, because like everyone must have thought I had COVID or something, because I'm just like
Aww.
I'm just like got my sunglasses on, like, oh, not now. and so yeah, you know, that it just hit me.
Yeah. Are you already working on another album?
Yeah. So we've been working on it, like, I think most of the time I have, like, you know, quote unquote downtime, I will kind of get back into, like, working on music. And so yeah, like we do have plans to release some music this year. No, not looking to release an album till next year.
Right.
Yeah.
Is this go around very different from from Watton, because that was such a personal, you know, you poured so much of your grandfather's story and your story and your soul and heart in it. Is it different from making this album from the last one?
Yeah. I think in you know, the songs I've been working on have been more directly tied to, like, my life in first person and directly. So it will be different in the fact that I'm telling my stories.
Well, we look forward to hearing your story. I'm excited.
Yeah.
Speaking of music makers, is there a particular Indigenous music or any music maker that you're listening to right now that's getting you like, ooh, that's exciting?
I'm always excited about a ton of musicians. I am excited about, like, you know, Sebastian Gaskin, as you know, just joined Ishkade Records. He's such a hardworking musician. He just loves making music.
Well, let's play a song from Sebastian. What song should we play from him?
You know, I'm always a huge fan of the song Snake Holes. No, I dig that tune.
That was Sebastian Gaskin's song, Snake Hold. You're listening to Unreserved on CBC Radio 1, Sirius XM and Native Voice 1. I'm Rosanna Deerchild. Today, Indigenous music makers who use music to tell both personal and collective histories.
Dead of night, you don't need me, and I don't feel right tonight. Skipping stones in the southern light, you don't need me, and then I try
That's a taste of Heart Bites from the new album Super Blood Wolf Moon. And the sultry voice behind it is Christy Lane Sinclair. The 12 song collection is her personal journey as a survivor of domestic violence and PTSD. But more than that, it is a journey of reclamation, healing, and ultimately the power of women who rise above it all. Christy Lane, welcome to Unreserved.
Good to be back.
So how would you describe what's at the heart of this album?
The heart of it? I don't know. I just wanted it to be kind of a true account of what I was going through. And, you know, it's life's not boring. And so the good, the bad, the ugly, the beautiful. The time in between that and the time just still, you know, just like have a nice conversation with the moon, you know, Some would say it's a bit of a run-on sentence of everything that's in my head, but...
And when you say a true account of what you had been through, what had you been through?
I mean, I went through domestic abuse, which was followed by a really kind of severe bout with PTSD for about a year and a half. And that was, I mean, that's, I say that in the past tense, but PTSD never really goes away. But the most severe part of it was that, and trying to navigate that through the health system and just in life, you know, I just feel like I saw the other side of it. And I thought I kind of had all the Girl Scout badges, you know, but I'm like, oh, this is new. And it was just so much different than what you see and what is portrayed in media or even what is portrayed in like helplines. People don't really know too much about it. And I learned a lot about it. There's no tax bracket. There's no age bracket. A lot of women go through this and it ain't what you see on, you know, Law and Order. It's not what JT tells us, you know?
Mm-hmm. Certainly a very personal and traumatic journey that you have been through. How did making this album guide you, help you see to the other side?
Well, I mean, you know, especially my psychiatrist was like, he's like, I wish I could prescribe an album for the rest of my patients. Because he's like, you kind of got to go face to face with your trauma and your problems and work it out with words. And the album helped me just get it off my chest. And, you know, I don't think I told anyone about it for like a year afterwards, like other than my close people. And so to have an account of it and to maybe help even one person just with listening to it, like I'm not telling anyone what to do or do anything, but I know when I was going through it, I was looking for music and I couldn't find it because it's kind of like this kind of talk also was like, it's a career killer, you know, hopefully not right now. But like back in the day, it's like Tori Amos talks about, you know, being raped and like, that's the last you heard from her, you know, anything uncomfortable or real as a woman has been a little bit taboo. You're just supposed to be like, you know, happy, sexy, pretty.
And so why did you want to take on that image and that and, you know, take down the idea that women are crazy, sexy people?
Oh my God, I did not want to. That was like... At first it was just like my nightmare. I'm like, I wrote these songs for me, and I wrote a lot of songs for me that nobody hears. So I wrote these songs just because I could and to get them out, and I played them for my producer at the time just as a sharing thing. And like everybody's just like, we're recording this, and they kind of actually tricked me in the studio. It's like, we're doing this, we actually learned it, and we have to do this. I didn't want to. I felt it was too personal and vulnerable. I felt I would be attacked. And like, you know, my bass player was like, well, how many people have been hurt while we've been in the studio this week, you know? And how many of them have a voice? You have a voice. So kind of just essentially put your big girl panties on. I'm like, okay, yeah. Again, it's about women supporting women, right? So I needed I need a little push in that direction. I'm like, you're right. Songs are good. Fine.
That's a very powerful push to say that to somebody.
Yeah. And I'm glad she did, because there's a big healing part in owning it. And, you know, at the time it's like, I can't say anything. I'm like a 6 foot tall, like hide a bee, you know? But now I'm like, I'm saying it because I am a 6 foot tall, powerful Haida women, you know, if they can take me down, they can take anyone down. So whatever.
Yeah. And now that it's out in the world, how are you feeling about it?
I feel good. I mean, it's all been a journey. So it's like getting out there again, making an album, releasing it, being able to get out and play and go back to my career after, because it was kind of dovetailed with COVID. So I had like a good, like, you know, 4 years under my belt to just sit around with this album and hang out. So It's good to get out and see my people. Yeah, have someone to scream at other than myself. Share the wealth, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
I got a lot of screaming to go around.
The strength of women is a really strong theme in this album, despite, you know, the trauma you're talking about and the healing journey you went on. And you teamed up with another powerhouse woman to create it, Tara Lightfoot. How impactful was it to have women working on this album from both sides of the recording studio glass?
It was amazing. It's the best band I've ever worked with. Yeah, on every level. And especially with what I was going through, it definitely helped having a group full of women to, you know, yeah, tell you when to put your big girl panties on. And like, you know, and basically why I'm a musician is for these moments of you look up and everybody's, you're like, that's one take, that's perfect. And then you look up and everyone's crying. And they actually finished my sentences with music, which is the goal. And like everyone was so invested in it and flew that flag, and to have women behind the glass. I mean, we had like Emily Lazar, who mastered the record, is like one of the most famous masterers. Like, I think at the Grammys, she had like, out of the nomination, she was like five out of six. And I just like cold called, like, I was like, this is an example of a song. And she took it on, gave me a great deal. Just like, but it's like, that's the power of like, you know, women. And I think all of these entities are all like, no, we're here supporting women. But it's like, yeah, it's money in hand. Like, you can say you are, but if you're not hiring, you know, if there's only two women on your summer festival, you can say whatever you want. And you know,
in terms of other Indigenous voices in the music making industry, who do you think Canadians should be listening to besides, of course, yourself right now?
Andrina Terrain just dropped a bomb, and she is like Winnipeg's best. Last time I went and visited her, yeah, she played me one of these songs from the album, and we like slow danced to it in her living room. And See Me Through the Night is the song that we slow danced to. So grab your bestie.
Aw. Okay, I'm gonna go grab my bestie now.
Yeah. Just see.
That is Andrina Terrain with See Me Through the Night, a recommendation from friend and fellow musician Christy Lane Sinclair. This is Unreserved on CBC Radio 1, Sirius XM, and Native Voice 1. I'm Rosanna Deerchild. Today, we spotlight rising Indigenous musicians who are redefining the Indigenous music scene and sound. Bikamoengin, those are the Ojibwe words for slow down and wolf. It's also the name of a new album by Zoom. And if the last few years of music making is any indication, the artist is not slowing down anytime soon. Zoom is the musical work of Daniel Monkman. Daniel, welcome to Unreserved.
Oh, hey, Roseanne. Thanks for having me.
So what's the story behind the name of your new album?
So just like everyone, in 2020, we had to really slow down. And it didn't really occur to me how important I needed that. I had lost my dad a year before the pandemic, and my friend had passed away right in the beginning of the pandemic from an overdose. And I felt like before the pandemic, I was just grinding, just like everyone else, just making enough to pay rent and feed yourself, and not really much room for anything else. And so grieving, I never really got to grieve my dad's death. And even my friend, it was like I was just learning, basically, because all of a sudden I had all this free time. And that really stuck with me, because my debut album had already been done. And all of a sudden I had this time to maybe start a new project, a new album. And so slowing down was a part of my creative process. It was like, it's like, okay, I just want to like take time and honor my dad and like really think about the relationship I had with my dad and uncover who he was and where he came from. And so at his funeral, when I was singing kind of like a departure song on a hand drum to my dad with my mom, my uncle after the funeral was like, oh, I don't know if your dad had told you, but we're part of the Wolf Clan. And I know your dad didn't really like talking about culture all that much because of the schools that he went to. But I thought you should know this. And that was like the first little clue into me learning more about where I come from and the people I'm connected with. And so when I was deciding to name this album, I wanted to honor my dad and honor also this shared experience of slowing down that we all went through. And those two things aren't supposed to like go together. They're supposed to be just be two words, their own separate meaning. But when I see it now, like I see it say Slow Down Wolf, and I'm like, oh, okay, that's kind of cool.
Yeah. And so when you say you wanted to slow down and get to know your grief and the stories behind that, what kinds of stories did you uncover and turn into music?
So that there was a song called Manitou on the record. And Manitou is partially about my friend Travis, who passed away, and my friend Barrett Peterson, who passed away in 2010. And it was me remembering a time when I was living in Manitoba in a small town called Selkirk, and us native folk, we'd get someone to buy us drinks or whatever, and we would all travel together across the Red Bridge. And on the other side, we would build a fire and we would just laugh, and sometimes people would cry, and not a lot of us knew why someone was crying, but we would all just kind of like hang out and be supportive and be there for each other. And at the time, I never understood what trauma was. The talk about therapy and trauma, it wasn't a big buzzword back then, but with my friends, it would come out every time we were in those instances of maybe partying. And when I was finally grieving 3 years ago and reflecting on those times, it just made me really sad thinking about that us children, you know, we were really young and we didn't have a lot of support except for ourselves. And it was something that really stuck with me and I wanted to sing about and kind of just honor my friends who have passed on now. Find that like with native people and stuff is we tell a lot of stories and we laugh and that's just what I was trying to do. And some of the song, particularly that song, is really sad, but for me it's a really happy thing too.
Often for Indigenous people, just the process of walking through that grief can sometimes be joyous, right? I mean,
yeah,
it doesn't always have to be sad. As you said earlier, we often find laughter with each other.
Big time.
How was this album different from your last?
So my first one, when I left Winnipeg, I stopped playing music because I ended up going to a rehab center in Vancouver. And in that journey of discovering where I came from and not being ashamed of the reserve or the color of my skin, that journey was just self-discovery and learning to love myself again. And so in my treatment center, at the end of your stay, you're supposed to write kind of like a, not like a memoir, but just like a story about your journey. And for me, I wrote poems and stories and stuff in my journal. And those stories and poems and stuff is what I turned into my debut album. And I guess I just didn't really get to share all of the stories and everything that had happened. And so this album is kind of like a continuation of that, but also it's just touching on newer things with this one, telling people to like slow down and grieve your losses as an important part of your healing.
Yeah. The album dropped on April 28th. Where do you hope this album will take you?
That's a really good question. I want to go far with my music, but I always want to make sure that I'm doing it because it's what I want to do. Like when I put out my record, I get messages from Indigenous youth being like, "Oh, it's so nice seeing someone that looks like me on, say, a news article or a music blog or something," because that's what I always longed for when I growing up. So I hope that that's where my music takes me, you know, like maybe working in schools or going to classrooms and telling my story and playing a few songs. You know, I don't really dream to be rich or famous or anything. I more just want I want a better future for people that look like me.
There is so much great music coming out right now from the Indigenous community and being shared. How would you describe this moment for Indigenous music makers?
Wow, I know. The exactly for that reason is why I started doing music again, because I was in my journey of healing. And I was at a restaurant with a friend and we were watching the Polaris Music Prize happening. I saw a Native person, Jeremy Dutcher, on TV. And I was like, whoa, I was like, Jeremy Dutcher, like, who's this person? He's on TV, or they're on TV right now and performing the music in their own language and people are enjoying it. And I was like, what is going on? What does this mean? So I got my social media back and discovered that people were starting to want to hear our stories and actually support it. And that's what kickstarted me wanting to do music again, because it was really triggering to be back in bars and stuff like that. And after seeing the resurgence of Indigenous artists and not just like folk Indigenous or like R&B, it's like a lot of different types of Indigenous artists coming up, experimental artists, doom musicians, like all kinds. And that was really inspiring. And it's still inspiring to me to this day, meeting all these types of artists who are all growing together. We're all experiencing so much new things together. And I think that's really special.
Who do you think, in terms of Indigenous music, should Canadians be listening to right now? Could you request a song for us?
There's an artist named Evan Redsky, his project called Indian Giver that I really, really love. It's a hardcore Native band from Toronto. But any of their new singles would be incredible for people to hear.
You just heard a bit of Seventh Fire by the band Indian Giver. You're listening to Unreserved on CBC Radio 1, Sirius XM, and Native Voice 1. I'm Rosanna Deerchild. Today, whether it's taking direction from the land, inspiration from our family stories, or healing from trauma, these Indigenous artists share their stories through music. From escaping a religious cult to receiving Juno nominations for her soul-bearing music, Jaylee Wolf has seen a lot. Her 2021 debut EP, Wild Whisper, helped her work through intergenerational trauma and the shame she experienced as a young queer woman, and reclaim the indigenous identity Jaylee had been displaced from. Her latest album, God is an Endless Mirror, is set to be released later this summer and is about her spiritual awakening. Jaylee Wolf, welcome to Unreserved.
Thank you so much for having me.
You'll be releasing a new album pretty soon. Can you describe what we can expect from this record?
Yeah, so it's going to be an array of different sounds. I'm going to have a little more punky vibes on some of the songs and some more folk tracks. And I'm also introducing my poetry. So I'm going to have at least one track that I'm going to be putting my poetry to song and collected sounds from where I'm living right now.
Oh, wonderful. And where is the inspiration for this album coming from?
I think it's coming from just like my recent move away from the city, getting back to nature, just really slowing down and trying to enjoy life a little more instead of just thinking like I have to be accomplishing things all the time. It's been such a change.
So some inspiration from the land and some inspiration for where you are in life right now.
Exactly. Yeah. Sounds of the river and poetry that I'm writing. I don't know if it's like a cliche thing to say, but I went through a spiritual awakening and that has been affecting me so much. So there's going to be at least one track just about my spiritual awakening. And it's I'm really excited to put this out into the world.
Yeah. Tell me more about this spiritual awakening you recently experienced.
I was very much in this energy of like work, just working 16 to 17 hours a day, not taking any time for my health or myself. And all of a sudden, I had this awakening, and I don't even know how to explain it. It was the most euphoric feeling I've ever experienced. And it was like I left my body and I saw everyone as me. I saw oneness. I experienced oneness. And that purpose, then I'm here to love and to put more love into this world. And not to say that I don't make mistakes, and some days I do choose fear over love, but having that shift totally changed me, and I couldn't continue on the way that I was living. I could not continue working like I was. I had to slow down.
Yeah, that's important, to slow down and remember yourself, right?
Yeah, it is.
Your newest single, Holding On, you say is dedicated to the loves in your life that have given you strength.
Yeah.
Who are these people and what did they do for you?
Said I'm holding on for dear life once again. Said I'm lost in the weight and it's pulling me.
So I'll talk about the music video a little bit in regards to that. So the idea was, it was in a time in my life where I felt like there was nothing left for me to give to the world. And I just felt like there was nothing left that was good. And it was sort of like I was putting all this energy on one person, looking at this one person that I loved so much and saying that you were the only thing that was good. And that's a lot of pressure to put on somebody. And I needed to take my time to heal so that I could come back to that relationship and actually give to them instead of just taking, if that makes sense.
Yeah, of course that makes sense. Balance, right? It's important to always have balance in relationships and life and work and love.
Yeah.
How did making this new album help you through this journey of healing and reclamation?
It helped me to balance because it was me expressing that energy and then hearing it back with lyrics and knowing where I was. So it was just such a good check-in for me to experience that and be like, oh, this is where I am. This is where I used to be. This is how I'm feeling now. Just a great reflection tool.
Do you have a name for the album? By the way, I guess I should ask you that.
Yeah, sure. It's called God is an Endless Mirror.
Wow, that is a powerful, powerful title. God is an Endless Mirror. That takes me to so many different places.
Cool.
Where did this take you?
It takes me back to the idea of oneness and that everything we see and everyone we know is a reflection of ourselves.
Excellent. That was quite a spiritual awakening you had.
<It was. laughs>
I'm going to go wake up now. You mentioned earlier that you write poetry as well, and you're going to be sort of combining those two
those two creative expressions. What is it about music that makes it work for you? Why choose music over poetry, for example, or over writing a novel or whatever?
That's such a good question. So I love the written word because I just finished my last poem for this book that I'm going to be publishing soon. So I've got a collection of poetry. And what's cool about poetry is that when people can just like read the words, they can totally create their own story. There's no sonic at all. But with mm-hmm. music, if I'm really wanting to convey something in a different way than the written word, it's because I want to give you sort of like a base for that emotion. Like, here is the sonic, here is this feeling, this is what it means to me. I'm going to put written word with it, and it's going to create even more of a story, but it's harder for you to be able to just like make it into whatever you want it to be. Whereas like the poetry, you can read it and you can just go, it's just words. You can do anything mm-hmm. you want with it in your mind.
Mm-hmm. That is amazing way to look at your art form. What do you hope that, you know, people will take away from your music and your poetry?
I hope that they can take whatever they need to take away from it. It's up to them, especially for the people who have gone through similar things that I've gone through. Like, if I get a message from someone who left the same religion as me and they say, oh, your music touched me in this way or that way, it means the world. But I want to be able to allow people just to take whatever they need from it.
Mm-hmm. There is a lot of really great music coming out right now from the Indigenous community. You know, we went from hardly having any of our experiences reflected in music to having so many beautiful stories being told and being shared. How would you describe this moment for Indigenous music makers?
It's so inspiring. I can't keep up with everybody that's coming out. Like, I'm just talking with a friend the other day and they're like, this Indigenous artist from New Zealand, and then this one from Peru. And I cannot keep up with how much music there's in Indigenous music, great Indigenous music that's coming out right now. So mm-hmm. it's very exciting.
It certainly is very exciting. Is there any particular artist that you're listening to that you would recommend Canadians be listening to right now as well?
You know who I was listening to this morning over coffee? Wyatt C. Lewis. I love him. I've never met him, but I love his vibe. I think his artistry is brilliant.
And what song would you want to play from him right now?
Let's do Dancing with Sue. On the
dance floor. All right, let's do that. Jaylee Wolf, thank you so much for your time today and sharing some of your beautiful vision on this upcoming album.
Thank you so much for having me.
Follow me here, follow me there, spin you around in that red. I found for you at a thrift store just down the street from my first house. Getting down in the sun, I need you right now. Getting
That's all our time on Radio Indigenous. This episode was produced by Kim Casher, Rhiannon Johnson, and Laura Bone-Steuben. You can always find more on our website at cbc.ca/unreserved or download our podcasts on the CBC Listen app or your favorite pod places. I'm your favorite cousin, Rosanna Deerchild, coming at you from Winnipeg in Treaty 1 territory. Ginaskinamit Nawi, Egosay.